Before we read our scripture passage, I want to say welcome. I was going to say bienvenido. You'll have to excuse me. I taught the Spanish class this morning, and I put the RPMs up to 90, trying to speak a million miles a minute right now. Spanish is all in my brain. Entonces, si comienza a hablar en español, perdóname, and we'll be good. And so just that's just how it's going to roll this morning. So, but anyway, I do want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. It is a pleasure seeing you all here. And man, what incredible weather, huh? I mean, speaking of Mexico, I tell people, this is our weather in Mexico for 70% of the year is where we lived. And so it reminds me a lot of my friends and our time there in Mexico. But I do want to say, just as Chris shared, thanks to all you who helped with Fall Fiesta. And I know many of you will respond to our MDU here in a couple weeks. But they're just practical ways of showing the love of Christ to those around us and with those with whom we live, work, and play. And I want to encourage you, invite your non-Christian friends to serve with you. It's a powerful way to share the gospel with them. So invite them to come along and serve with you here on our outreaches. Before we get started, I do want to ask, take out your bulletins, please, and then I'm going to pick on somebody. Dustin, could you stand up real quick? I'm not going to ask you to say anything, but Dustin and Carolyn Denning, they're missionaries of ours. They're on home assignment, sabbatical, furlough, whatever you want to call it. They've been serving in South Africa. Carolyn's working today, isn't she? Oh, she's out of town. Okay, so anyway, so they've been here for a couple months. They'll be here, Lord willing, for many more months. But Dustin is going to be serving with us as a missions intern. As you guys know, Ed Smith used to be our outreach minister, and he rolled off earlier in the summer. Matt Mosley has stepped on, and he's still with us. But just as part of Dustin's home assignment, he's also going to be one of our interns here, just serving with us, helping with all of our outreaches. And one of the challenges we have, and you can say it, so one of the challenges we have is as Christmas season, as the holiday season comes up, we get super busy. And I'm always telling people, no, we can't keep doing so much. But in all honesty, 80% of all of our parties and all the gift cards we give and any of the cakes or cookies we make is in between Thanksgiving and Christmas that we do in the whole year. Can we spread that out? But anyway, the holiday season is coming up. But anyway, Dustin, along with Matt, are really going to help us in the many outreaches that we'll be doing over the next couple months while y'all are here. And we're so glad y'all are here. And you've got a wonderful little daughter, Levy. So anyway, so if you don't know Dustin, reach out to him. Invite him out to eat. Get to know him. You'll be a blessing to him and Carolyn. They'll be a blessing to you. So with your bulletin, I hope you got it out. Living a whole life the whole way. I have a question. How many of you all love to go camping? Anybody love to go camping? Not glamping, but camping. The real deal, camping. Okay, it's crazy here. I know I've shared these stories, but we go camping quite a bit. We went down to Florida a couple weeks ago on the beach to go camping. I don't recommend hardcore camping in the summertime in Florida. The degrees, it was 85 at night, and my sleeping bag was drenched where I could wring it out in the morning, just sweated all the time. And I bought firewood the whole nine yards. And Christy's like, why firewood? Like, it's hot out. Well, I'd love to make fire. Usually most guys have this pyro, techno, something rather going on. Who loves to play with fire when you were a kid? Did you love to play with fire? I still love to play with fire. We went camping 2 years ago, took a bunch of our little nephews, and one of them burned his finger because he played with the fire too much. And there's this phrase in Spanish, it's called fuego fácil, it's lighter fluid. In Mexico, we didn't have fuego fácil until the very end. So it would take like an hour to get a little fire going. But once they started selling lighter fluid in our little town in Mexico, and it's called fuego fácil, and the literal translation is easy fire. So it's pretty easy now to make a little campfire. You just put the wood down, you just spray a half gallon of fuego fácil on it, and you're good to go. But in the olden days, or if you don't have fuego fácil, say it, fuego fácil. Easy fire. Actually, technically, it's fire easy. But without it, in order to get that little fire going, you've got to attend to it. You've got to watch over it. You need the kindling, matches, spark. And then once you get it going, I mean, you're blowing on it. And usually, if you're like me, you know, you're down on your knees and you're like hyperventilating, you know, trying to get it. But you have to attend to it. You have to be devoted to getting that fire going. Our friends that go with us a lot of time when we go camping, they go glamping. And two of my three kids, I won't tell you who they are, they're here, wanted to stay in the camper and glamp. But man, hardcore, let's camp on the hard ground. Let's wake up all sore and can't get up. But in order to make that fire, you've got to attend to it and be devoted to make sure it not only sparks and begins to flame, but you got to make it grow and you got to attend to it regularly or it'll get snuffed out. We're going to look at a little bit of that today. Loving God with all of our soul. Let's stand up and let's open our Bibles. It'll be on the screen. But let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. It's the passage we've been looking at the past couple weeks. Winston, thank you for preaching. I greatly appreciate it. Last week, Winston preached on loving God with all of our heart. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll start actually in verse 34, but you guys will get the gist. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. Then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, and I praise you and thank you for every person here today. Jesus, it is not an accident that all of us are gathered here today. Father, we ask that you would fall upon us today in a fresh, new, powerful way with your Holy Spirit. Glorify the name of Jesus. Bring encouragement. Bring strength. Bring comfort. Bring conviction. Bring healing. Bring transformation in your name and your power, Jesus. May we see you more clearly. May we love you more dearly. And may we truly, as we've read and as we've sung today, love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. May we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, so that you, King Jesus, you, Lord Jesus, are glorified in everything we say and do. And we ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open here to Matthew chapter 22. It's a very common verse. We've looked at this for the past couple weeks. Real quickly, Jesus is on the last week of his earthly ministry. He is in Jerusalem. He's had thousands of people follow him. He's traveled all over Israel, preaching, teaching, healing, raising people from the dead, doing incredible miracles. He has unbelievable amounts of enemies who are beginning to close in on him. It is during the time of Passover in Jerusalem, of the Old Testament Passover, when they celebrated when God liberated them from Egypt. So there are thousands of devoted Jewish followers who are there in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And there's Jesus. And the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they hate him. They're looking for a way to kill him, to destroy him. And so they're trying to set up traps. And that's where this question comes from. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament. And there was great debate back then. Which was the most important? Which was the weighty? Which were the weighty commandments and which were the light commandments? And so a Pharisee, an expert of the law, tries to trap Jesus. And you guys know the story. We just read it. And Jesus answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. If you read Luke and Mark, they'll also add strength. And it's real easy for us as Americans and even men to compartmentalize our lives. This is holy. This isn't secular. I'm going to go do church. I'm going to go do evangelism. No, everything is together. You know, I heard the other day, I'm going to deviate a little bit. I think Mary told me about the difference between a woman's brain and a man's brain. A man's brain is like a waffle. And there's all these little compartments and they can compartmentalize everything. And a woman's brain is like spaghetti. It's all intertwisted. But it's so easy for us as Americans, as North Americans, to compartmentalize our lives. And it's easy to want to dissect this commandment. Okay, what does heart mean? What does soul mean? What does mind mean? When in reality, Jesus is encompassing all that we are. But if we want to get technical, I'll do it. To love God with all of our heart. When we refer to our heart, we're referring to our affections. To love God with all of our affections. When we refer to our soul, we're talking about our devotion. Being wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely wholly devoted to the Lord our God. So when we love Him with our heart, we love Him with our affections. When we love Him with our soul, it's our devotion. And let's not separate them, because Jesus is teaching, it's all encompassing, everything that we are. Who all, when it's like, after, is it Memorial Day in May, and the swimming pools open up, and the water's still 50 degrees, how many of us are like, ugh, and it takes 30 minutes to finally get in, and there's some kids that are like, oh, who cares, forget it, and they just go into the deep end? Jesus wants us to completely dive into the deep end of loving Him with everything that we are. Be utterly devoted to Him. So let's look at it. What does soul mean? You know, it talks about our affections and stuff and our devotion. But the soul, I'm going to read a couple of things here real quickly. The soul, and this is slide two, Chris. The soul is the part of us that defines who we are. It's the essence of the biblical definition of the soul means your life, your personality, your inner self, your identity. It's where we make our decisions and our choices that actually decide our lifestyle and behavior. Think of the soul as the core you, the total and essential self of a person. I did a word study this past week on the soul and different Bible translations. And depending on the translation, they would use different words or phrases to refer to our soul. For example, it's oneself, yourself, yourselves, ourselves, themselves, the person, life, your life, the whole life, I, myself. Those are all other English words that we use in the various English translations that can also be translated back into soul. There's a famous scripture passage. It's Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. And I love this verse. In fact, Psalm 103 is one of my best, most favorite psalms. That's horrible English. But look at what this psalmist is saying. My soul, what's he saying? I, me, myself. My soul, what? Bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Verse 2 of Psalm 103, my soul, bless the Lord and do not forget all His benefits. The psalmist is talking to himself and he's saying, I will bless the Lord with everything that I am. And I want to encourage you, write Psalm 103 down. It's a pretty long psalm, but it's an incredible psalm of all, not even all, just a fraction of what our Heavenly Father has done for us. But the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord. My soul will bless Him. The psalmist also says in Psalm 42:11, when he's talking about himself, why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Who has felt turmoil this week, this month, this year? Who's been in turmoil in your life? The world flips upside down. Stress, pressure, illness, sickness, fear. And look at what this psalmist says. He's talking to his soul, but he's talking to himself. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you in such turmoil? Other translations will say dejected, turmoil, depressed, anxious. Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. In our Spanish class today, we are studying the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer starts with what? Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo. Our Father who art in heaven. Now that's old English. It starts with praising Him. And if you read all throughout the scriptures, and I love this passage here, is this person, this David, is talking to himself. He's dejected. He's in turmoil. He's depressed. He's anxious. And yet what does he do? He chooses to what? Worship. So when we talk about our soul, we're talking about who we are, our inner selves, our core being. And I know I'm getting real nitpicky here, but look, when we go back to Jesus' commandment here in Matthew chapter 22, what does He say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. In other words, with your affections. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your devotion, with all your mind, what you think, with all your strength, who you are. It's like those little kids, and we used to do it the first couple weeks when the swimming pools were open. As I said, we would stand in the at the deep end, and we would try to, okay, last one in has to pay for a Coke for everybody. First one in gets a free slush. Who's willing to dive into the 50-degree water? Are we willing to completely jump in and devote ourselves completely and utterly to loving God? But what does that look like? What does it look like to love God with our soul? Well, there's four things. The first one is make godly choices. The second one is to walk in obedience to His word. The third one is to pursue a life of humility. And the fourth one is to love your neighbor as yourself. An overflow of someone who's loving God with their whole soul will make godly choices. They'll live a life of humility. They'll walk in obedience to God's word. And they'll love their neighbor as herself. Making godly choices, I want to ask a couple questions. You know, I know that Winston was talking last week about where your heart is, there your treasure will also be. And we can ask the question, where is your heart? We can say, man, I love God. I'm completely devoted to Him. Awesome. But here's some questions. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? What kinds of things do you watch and listen to? How do you not just spend your money, but where do you put your time and your talents and your treasures? What do we do for entertainment? What do we do to rest? What gives us comfort at difficult times? What kinds of friends do I have? We have to have a true and honest avalú, is what we say in Spanish. Assessment? I can't even think of the word in English now. We have to evaluate our lives completely and utterly. And those questions I ask, how do you spend your time and how do you spend your money? How do you relax? What do you listen to? What do you read? What do you watch? Our actions and where we put our time and our efforts truly reflect where our heart is. It completely and utterly does. And many of the things that we choose aren't sinful in and of themselves, but they can become idols in our lives. I know for myself, I became a believer when I was in ninth grade, but I've shared this in the past, but my God back in ninth grade, all throughout high school, was sports. And all I did was play sports, football, basketball, baseball, ran track, which spent 4 or 5 hours a day training and eating and lifting weights. And I love Jesus, but my effort and my time and my focus, and if I look back on my journals, and I've got them, all my prayer requests, almost all my prayer requests revolved around if I was starting for the ball team or not. Why is my ankle still hurting? Why did I hurt my knee? God, why am I not starting? Why? And when I read my journals, I'm kind of embarrassed. Because in reality, when I look back on that time, I was devoted to being a great basketball player. Now, you guys can see, man, I've got the body for it, don't I? I mean, I'm short. I'm a little round. I was slow, but I couldn't jump either. But I was so committed to wanting to be a great athlete that if I'm truly honest, I proclaimed Christ. And I did love Jesus, but I was very immature in so many ways. And praise the Lord for His grace that He was so patient. Because, see, God just isn't interested in us getting, quote-unquote, saved. He's so committed to us in the process of our walk and love relationship with Him. And like a little child, you see me, I mean, little E, is Ezekiel over there or did he take off? He's gone. All right, he's getting big enough now, or Ezekiel. I call him little E because I got big E right there. And I can't pick big E up anymore. But little E doesn't want to hang out with me much anymore because he wants to run around in the hallway. But I can remember when he could barely walk and he's stumbling all over the place. And our Heavenly Father's the same way. And our immaturity and our faith with Christ should never be an excuse to continue in sin or idolatry. But many times we need to have grace for ourselves, knowing that we are growing in our walk with Jesus. But our eyes, remember, what does heart and soul mean? Our heart, and Christine, mind putting this up there again, our heart is our affections. Our soul is our devotion. And just like making a campfire without any fuego fácil, we need to be completely and utterly devoted to making that campfire work and function and then maintaining that campfire, because it'll go out at night once you go to sleep. And you'll have to start the process all over again the next morning. So in the same way, we need to be utterly devoted, that the affections of our heart need to be on Christ and Him only. And we need to be devoted and committed that we're going to love Him with everything that we are. Our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. You know, the four things it talks about, you know, we need to make godly choices. So what type of choices are we making? What type of choices are you making? And what excuses are you giving for those choices? And then we need to walk in obedience to His word. Jesus says in John 14, 21, He who has my commands, His commands, and obeys them, He's the one who loves me. He said a few verses earlier, if you love me, you will obey me. Now that would sound like works righteousness. It's not. Our obedience to Christ is an overflow of our love for Him. And as Angie was saying, we love Him because He first loved. Oh, y'all are asleep. Come on now. Everybody stand up. Stand up. I've done put y'all asleep. Okay, sit back down. All right, stand back up. Simon says, sit down. All right, good. I put everybody asleep. That back row, y'all weren't doing too good standing up. If we love Jesus, we'll obey Him. Now, part of that obedience is confessing our sin when we sin, because no one's perfect. But again, it goes back. If we're devoted to God, if we're loving Him with all of our soul, we'll make godly choices and we'll walk in obedience. But in order to obey Him, we got to know what His word says. The other one is we'll walk in humility. We'll pursue humility. Are you humble? And humble does not mean being poor economically. Humble does not mean you degrade yourself. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm terrible. I'm no good. That's not humility. That's self-degradation, and that's actually just another form of pride. If LeBron James were to say he's terrible at playing basketball, what's that? He's one of the best that's ever played. Humility is recognized that if it wasn't for Him, Jesus, we'd be absolutely nothing. It's considering Him and Him first, and then considering others more important than ourselves. It's having a proper understanding of who we are in Christ. It's also understanding how sinful we truly are. Because if we're honest, what's up in between the two ears is wretched without the grace of Jesus. What's inside of here can be extremely vile and self-centered, hateful, spiteful, jealous, envious. And we truly need the grace. I cannot remember the story, but it was like D.L. Moody or one of the old evangelists from 100 years ago. Walking down the street of Chicago, one of his friends saw a drunk passed out on the street and made a snide comment about that drunk. Look at that wretched poor soul. And D.L. Moody, with tears in his eyes, said, oh, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be laying right there next to him. So it's walking in humility. If we love God with all of our soul, we'll make godly choices. We'll obey His word. We'll walk in humility. The fourth one is we'll love our neighbor as a natural overflow. We're going to do something a little different to close about loving our neighbor. But the four things, again, godly choices, obedience to God's word, walking in humility, an honest assessment of how you're loving, how we're loving God with all of our soul. How are we? How are you obeying and following what Jesus commands us to do with the first and greatest commandment? The last thing is we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is a tiny little book. It's a letter, actually, in the New Testament. Chris, do you have it? I know it's that long passage. Okay, good. Thank you. If anyone ever deserves to be invited out for lunch, it's Chris Walton. He and Greg do a ton for us, and most of us don't notice it until it doesn't work. So guys, thanks. Colossians chapter 3. As I was pondering about how does loving God with our soul, and one of our temptations is we can get so focused on ourselves, especially hearing the four, making godly choices, walking in obedience to His word, walking in humility, we can really hyper-focus on ourselves. And because we live in a culture that's so consumeristic, I want to see what I can get out of the church service, out of the music, out of the sermon, out of Sunday school. We so come to church with a consumer mentality. And if this church doesn't meet our needs, we'll go to another one. And we'll go to another one. That we can become extremely self-centered and self-absorbed and consumed with ourselves. And we do need to focus on how we are doing with our Heavenly Father, because He calls each and every one of us individually to come to His feet and to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice to Him. And we do need to see, are we truly loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? But the second of the great commandments is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're going to read this passage, and I want us to look at it through the lens of how we walk this passage out with our neighbors. Let's stand. Colossians 3, verse 12. It'll be on the screen. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you are also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. All right, I want everybody to sit down. We're going to read these verses again. But I want you to close your eyes, please. Starting in verse 12. Close your eyes, and I want you guys to think of this question. What does this passage say about God? Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive one another. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you are also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. I'm going to continue reading. Keep listening with your eyes closed. Listen. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he's done, and there is no favoritism. With your eyes closed again, I'm going to read a couple of these verses again. How is the Lord Jesus speaking to you? The reason I'm reading this over and over is as I ponder this passage here, I thought, man, we could preach on this passage for 2 years. There are so many commandments here. Listen to these verses here. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. As the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us all day today, what has he been speaking to you this morning? It might have been this morning when you got up. Maybe in life group this morning. Maybe as you were running around trying to get kids dressed in here. Or you overslept. Or you had a late night. Or a hard weekend or a hard week. Maybe you're having an incredible morning. And the Holy Spirit has just overwhelmed you with his presence and with his goodness. And you just have a heart full of praise and thanksgiving. It says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Loving God with all of our heart refers to our affections. Loving God with all of our soul refers to our devotion. And in the same way that in order to make a campfire, we need the proper type of wood and kindling, and we need a match, we need a spark, we need a flame. Maybe fuego fácil would be easy as we hear the fire engine going down the street. That is not a coincidence. Are you attending to the fire of your heart the way you would trying to start a campfire? Or are there things in your life that are snuffing out the flame of the Holy Spirit? What is God calling you to do? What action step, what choice, what attitude do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus this morning? As we're called to make godly choices, walk in obedience, walk in humility, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's stand, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you so much for this incredible day. Jesus, I thank you that your word is living, it's active, it's true. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It's like a fire. It is like a hammer. And I ask that your word, as we read it over and over today, would bring encouragement and conviction, comfort and strength. And may we truly, as your chosen ones, as your holy ones, as your dearly loved ones, may we put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. May we truly bear with one another and forgive one another. Any grievance we have, may we forgive it just as you have forgiven us. And above all, may we truly put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. May the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts richly. And Father, I ask for all of us here today that in everything, whatever we do, we would do it from the heart as done for you and not for people, knowing that you will give us a reward, an inheritance that will not corrupt or corrode or melt away, because you are a good, good Father who loves us dearly. Our prayer team will be over here on your far right at the Next Steps table. And if Holy Spirit has been speaking to you today, if you need prayer, we would love to pray with you. We would love to pray for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or if you're holding sin in your heart and you know it, today is the day to repent and confess it, to get the help, because our Heavenly Father longs for us to experience Him and to walk in the freedom that only Christ can give. Let's close as we sing.